the trade union movement has played a huge role, not only in ensuring that the black working class indeed were to access the rights, such as the maternity leave and annual leave and all manner of privileges that workers enjoy today, but also, I mean, in the actual battle itself against apartheid at the time. I mean, the significance of trade unions indeed cannot be undermined, and the role it played in ensuring that the democratic dispensation is ushered in cannot be undermined. In fact, it cannot be overstated, as it were.
As it relates to the current union membership figures, is it in fact shrinking or is it growing?
Well, the current membership indeed has been in steady decline, and this is as a result of a number of things: the casualization of labor, of course, the decline in employment itself. I mean, South Africa has 41.3% by the expanded definition, almost half of the working population is not working, and of course, I mean, as I've said, precarious work, informalization, that came as a result, of course, of the implementation of neoliberalism that calls for a flexible labor regime, which implies that employers must be given the leverage to hire and fire at will, and an attempt, of course, to chip away at the hard-won gain rights of workers. And it has resulted, amongst other things, in the trade union density the low trade union density that we see today.
Yeah. What do you think would be, I guess, the ideal role that a union should play in a worker's, working life? Where does the role start and where does it stop?
Well, I mean, what would have to happen, of course, at least as conceptualized by ourselves as the South African Federation of Trade Unions, is that, I mean, the primary role of trade unions should not just be limited to defending worker rights at the workplace, ensuring that the Occupational Health and Safety Act is observed, the Employment Equity and the Labor Relations Act, all the sections that are contained in there are observed. But in addition to that, there must be stuff to conceptualize it as a leader of the working class, and therefore there must be linkages not only between trade unions and workers as members of trade unions at the workplace, but also community civics and progressive student formations, because we perceive ourselves, of course, as an organization that organizes not only workers at the workplace but the working class in general.
Yeah. Unions generally also get a lot of criticism, particularly if we look at certain industries that are perhaps not as active as they once were decades ago. You talk about the clothing and textile industry, for example, in Cape Town, that was once a thriving industry and employed thousands upon thousands of people, that we essentially have seen largely decimated now. And a lot of these former textile workers blame the unions for essentially pricing wages out of the market and making it unaffordable for companies to keep going, which has subsequently resulted in their closure. Do you think that criticism is fair?
No, it's not fair. It's not even correct. The decimation not only of the textile industry, but the rapid deindustrialization of South Africa has to do with the industrial policy of this country, removed all import controls, virtually all import controls, in an attempt, of course, to ingratiate ourselves to the World Trade Organization, and of course the neoliberal regime that says the structure of the economy must be such that the economy is export-led and all of that. And therefore, that has decimated the textile industry, especially imports from China itself. But secondly, the idea that wages themselves are a problem in society is precisely the reason why unions are getting criticism, which, by the way, is something to be celebrated, precisely because the protection of the interests of our members is precisely our primary role. In other other words, if the cost of living rises, if prices rise, if inflation rises, we have the right and the duty and the obligation to demand wages in proportion to that. Otherwise, we are saying our members must starve, which, of course, not trade union worth its salt would agree to.
Mm. Where then do you see the role of unions going forward, Newton?
Well, the role of unions will continue the need and the necessity of trade unions will continue to exist for as long as capitalism exists. You see, if you were to remove unions tomorrow, right, weak as they are in this country, all the rights you are enjoying today, maternity leave, annual leave, and all manner of things would be eroded continuously. In fact, the very reason that you hear unions being criticized for the low growth in the economy, it's because they are saying unions refuse to accept that their members can be hired and fired at will. The unions refuse that the hard-won gains of workers must be chipped away. And each and every conceptualization from, for instance, the proposed amendment to the labor laws that came from the Department of Labor says the major problem of the lack of economic growth in this country is as a result of unions. But what is the problem with unions as conceptualized by them? It's because unions refuse their members must sell themselves to the lowest bidder. They insist that their wages must be consistent with the ever-rising cost of living. Secondly, that there must be proper conditions of employment. Thirdly, that employers cannot just arbitrarily dismiss you. There must be due process. And this, they are saying, these are the problems that makes the economy not to grow. Effectively, they are implying that workers must just be hired and fired at will. The conditions of employment must be dire, and that must be accepted in the name of economic growth. That's something we're not going to accept.
Do you think it should, based on what I'm hearing you saying, do you think it's essentially an ideological conversation?
Indeed. I mean, it's an ideological conversation that says society can only advance if you appease the so-called investors, the capitalist class. In other words, we must do everything possible, including conditions that are virtually no less than slave conditions of work, in order for us to ensure and assure the capitalist the profitability and thereby, of course, sacrifice workers at the altar of economic growth. It's an ideological position and an ideological position that we completely disagree with. You must remember that even when looked at objectively, workers are not merely employees at the workplace. When they leave their places of work, they are consumers. When you drive down, for instance, their wages in the name of profitability, what you are doing is to shrink the market in the economy because they constitute demand. So even if one looks at it objectively and empirically, it's not even a correct ideological posture to take, because it implies the shrinkage of the economy, and we know capitalism is about market. Market presupposes a consumer backed by purchasing power, and in this case, it is the worker who would otherwise have had his wages shrink because it is said that the employer must be guaranteed profit. So we disagree with those arguments.
Yeah, it's fascinating in terms of that particular conversation, because we speak about it within the context of the relevance of trade unions, but we also speak about within the context of a significantly high unemployment rate, as you've touched on already, and all of these various economic factors that I guess bring this particular conversation to the fore. Do you think trade unions should be part of this conversation, as the Department of Labor has outlined, a key stumbling block, if one can put it that way, to the economy? Because I can think of a couple of other things certainly that could help stimulate the economy that have nothing to do with trade unions.
Indeed, take for instance the macroeconomic pillars of this country. Fiscal policy, and the Minister of Finance is coming next week to give us the medium-term budget policy statement. We have always been critical, for instance, of the macroeconomic pillars of this country: fiscal policy, monetary policy, and of course its industrial policy. At the fiscal policy side, the National Treasury conceptualizes the economy as a household. In other words, it says the state must not spend in excess of the revenue it collects. Of course, it's a wrong conception. The government is not a household. But flowing from that, you are going to have serious problem, because then they begin to cut budget for departments that are essential, health, education, and so on and so forth, in an attempt to do what they call the consolidation of budget and in pursuit of what they call primary budget surpluses. But all that means is that the state is cutting spending into the economy at the time the private sector is refusing to invest. And therefore, you have both pillars of the economy, namely the state and the private sector, declining their expenditure into the economy. As a result, the economy will not grow. Because as I've said earlier on, capitalism is about sales. Sales presuppose a consumer backed by a purchasing power. And therefore, if the private sector refuses to invest, but on the other hand, the state is cutting a budget, you are going to have an economy that is spiraling down. Monetary policy, likewise, the central bank has always pursued inflation targeting, a very tight monetary policy which throttles small and medium enterprises, including the working class and the middle class, facilitating a massive transfer of wealth from the working class and the middle class to the bankers themselves. Again, you are shrinking demand in the economy, and therefore you are going to experience this. In fact, the central bank itself has even tightened the screws, as it were, because it has moved away from the inflation target band of between 3% and 6% to just 3%, which means as inflation approaches up 2.6%, 2.9%, they are going to ramp up interest rate and therefore shrink the demand in the economy, begin to throttle the economy even further. So the issue here has nothing to do with trade unions. Trade unions are defending the interest of their members, and if inflation goes up, if the cost of living rises, they must demand wages in proportion to the ever-rising cost of living. Otherwise, their members will just starve, and therefore there would be no need for trade unions to exist to begin with.